Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast this Thursday, the 30th of June. And it's always exciting, isn't it, when you wake up on a Thursday morning and you think, yep, we've got Thursday night footy tonight, and what a game it is between Melbourne and Manly. A very good morning to Jamie Rogers, Ryan Phelan with you. And Jamie, we've let the dogs out for the next couple of days. Yes, Dean Bulldog Richie is in with us. How are you, dog?
Good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Bulldog.
Great to be sitting in the chair of the great Laurie Daly. Hope I can
that's
do
Clarkie's
it justice.
Chair.
This is Clarkie's.
That's Clarkie's okay. Chair.
Yeah,
I've,
so if you're Clarkie, you've got to... You got to take deep breaths every once in a while before you say something, you know.
I reckon I should fill in for Clarkie. My bat and pad were never quite as close together as Michael's.
Yeah.
There is a different feeling when you wake up on a Thursday morning, as I say, and you know you've got a great game of footy that awaits you that evening. We've got Melbourne taking on Manly at Four Pines Park. Gee, what a game it promises to be, particularly now that Cameron Munster has been ruled out of State of Origin. It's always the big talking point, isn't it? Out of Origin, who backs up? And there's probably no bigger name that is not backing up. Yes, we know that Kalyn Ponga won't be playing for Newcastle, but probably Cameron Munster will be the biggest withdrawal this weekend. Again, in a very spiteful and important game for both clubs.
Yeah, it certainly will be. You'd think that there'd be a decent crowd down there. JR, look, it's been a great rivalry for many years, but no, Munster does sting for the Storm. Ryan Pappenhausen, back from COVID, will start at fullback. And as I understand, I spoke to Craig Bellamy last night, the plan is that Nick Meaney would push in to play six. So the Storm knocked around a bit. Bellamy even said, look, he'll wake up this morning and still won't know the extent of his side because of injuries. But Manly are settled. And their two Origin players, Cherry Evans and Jake Trbojevic, are available.
You know, the big one for me, boys, looking at this round ahead, the Roosters are $6 to beat the Panthers. That's their longest price since 2011. Now, that really shows the tough position that they're in. And Bulldog, it is on the back page of today's paper, but Joey Manu has been moved to go into 5/8, and that's a way to try and reignite their season, I suppose. And there was all those reports yesterday that Matt Lodge has signed for $100,000 for the rest of the season. I'm a Rooster supporter, so I'm looking at you and thinking, like, what do we now do? Is this the right decision to move Joey Manu into that 5/8 position? Obviously, this is off the back of Luke Keary out with the head knock.
Yeah, look, it's a move that they believe can try to trigger something in their attack. There's something missing at Bondi this year, JR. They're just not the side that they were, and it's not the side that Trent Robinson wants them to be. So they need something just to ignite the Roosters, to rejuvenate them, and they think Manu is the man to do that. Basically, it's an old cliche, but they want him to get his hands on the ball more than what he is out there at centre, and he's obviously in wonderful form given that New Zealand game last week against Tonga. He ran for, I think it was 362 metres, just an extraordinary individual performance for Joey Manu. So, look, Drew Hutchison was named at six. He'll go back to the bench. Manu will start in the halves, and that leaves Paul Momorowski to come in at right centre.
Yeah, but just back to that Manly game, it just kicks off the round in great fashion, doesn't it? Because we talk about Manly Melbourne. As far as rivalries go, we know there's a lot of great rivalries in the NRL, but this is probably one of the great modern rivalries. Obviously, goes back to the grand finals and to the Melbourne Storm being stripped of their points for salary cap breaches, the Battle of Brookvale. There's a lot of spite between these two sides, isn't there? And the coaches probably feel the rivalry too.
It's unbelievable. What about this, Ryan? Dez and Craig Bellamy have met 34 times. It's 17 all. So that's a 50% success rate for Dez, which I think puts him at number one against Craig Bellamy. I think everyone else is beneath Dez in terms of percentages. That just shows how good Craig Bellamy is, that there's not one person above Dez over 50%. And what about this too? Bellamy's sides have scored 588 against Dez. Dez's side 562 against Melbourne. So that means over 34 games, only 26 points splits them, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, it sure is. Felice Kafusi also, we talk about Origin players that won't be backing up. He won't be backing up. This is quite a, well, I guess a concerning story. So we mentioned yesterday on the show that he had flown to America to be with his dad. So It seems as though his dad was holidaying in Hawaii, and he got a bit of a gash to his leg, which has become infected. So he's currently in intensive care. That's a real concern. So Felice has flown over there, which could potentially put him in doubt for Origin 2, depending on how things play out.
Yeah, Craig Bellamy,
Origin 3, sorry,
said yesterday that there's no return date for Felice just yet. His father, as you said, Taniela, is in intensive care. Clearly, he won't be there tonight. And Origin 3, you'd have to think, would be in doubt as well. Just before I move away from Origin 3 too, Ryan, I spoke to Bellamy about Munster, and they are still fairly confident, the Melbourne Storm staff, that he would be available for State of Origin 3. So he'll miss tonight, but all being fair, he would play in the decider up there at Suncorp, which is a huge boost, because if they lose Munster, that is a massive blow to Queensland. Mm.
Just while you're talking about Queensland, you see in today's paper, the Queensland official said they're not going to go whinging to the refs.
That'd be a
basically
first.
Basically having a stab at Brad Fittler after his comments in game one.
That'd be a first. Queensland not whinging after a loss.
It's funny, isn't it, the way that Origin is attacked by the coaches nowadays. It's almost like this is a season where, I guess, the glaring, shortcomings in the process have been revealed. I could never understand for the life of me why New South Wales picked their team earlier. I'm sure it's got something to do with Channel 9 and being on the news on a Sunday night, perhaps. Something like that, I don't know. But it pretty much gives Queensland a free hit to have a look at their side and counter, which is where Freddie Fittler got caught with his pants down, so to speak, and having to make 7 wholesale changes in game 2. So then it evened up for game 2, I suppose, as the side is concerned. Now Billy Slater has seen, okay, well, I can see now what this new side can do ahead of game 3. So you feel like it's even. So it's the process that happens with State of Origin, and how, I guess, the shortcomings of that process of picking the teams, you know, has been revealed through this series. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, we as in New South Wales will pick our side on Monday, this coming game. It's normally been on Sunday. A lot of people on social media say what you're saying, Ryan. Why do the Blues come out first? Whether it is the news, I'm not sure. But I don't think it matters who comes out first in terms of that's the side we're going to pick. We've worked on this for weeks now. Mm. And if it comes out 24 hours earlier than Queensland, we don't particularly care. But you're right. It does seem a bit of a discrepancy that one side picks theirs a day before the other.
Mm. There's been some big signings overnight. The Dolphins, well, they just continue to look at the Penrith Panthers, and why wouldn't they? Wayne Bennett has signed Nathan Cleary's understudy, Sean O'Sullivan, as his foundation halfback for next season. SG Ball captain Mason Teague looks like he's going there as well. So they join Isaiah Katoa, Harry Hassett, Rob Jennings. So that is a lot of Penrith stock going to the Redcliffe Dolphins at the moment. So things are starting to look on the upward spiral there for Queensland, for the Queensland team as far as the signings are concerned.
Yeah, I still think they're a couple short. That's my gut feeling. They've built a solid roster without the superstar that they thought they would get. I firmly believe Wayne Bennett thought, given his reputation, that he would be able to lure 1, 2, even 3 stars up there, and it hasn't happened. Mm. I think Bennett privately would be a bit miffed that his aura hasn't quite worked in this situation, but Sean O'Sullivan is the backup halfback for Nathan Cleary. Of course, he's done a good job earlier this year when he was called in. His father, Peter O'Sullivan, is the Dolphins recruitment manager, so you'd think he was always going to go there at some point. But I asked it yesterday, guys, and I'll ask you guys today, you know, the Dolphins had to come in at some point, but are we a year short? Did they need one more year to really come in as a strong club? Because if they come in that first year and they run down the bottom, it's not a good look for rugby league. It's not a good look for the Dolphins. It would certainly hinder their chances of crowds, membership, and fan support.
It's interesting you pose that question, Bulldog, because I literally, when I was reading about the Dolphins signing Sean O'Sullivan, that was my first thought was, gee, they haven't picked up their big-named player. Are we going to see them at the bottom of the ladder, which would be a disastrous result? You do not want to see a new club come in and be the Wooden Spooners, I don't think. And so I'm with you that probably we needed another year just to be able to get those big-name players, and not just to get a bit more of the momentum behind it, because I don't think there's that much. Maybe there's not that much excitement around the team because they haven't picked up a big named player, but that was exactly my thoughts yesterday when I was reading about that signing.
They need the billboard player. The face is going to...
Yeah.
When you drive into Redcliffe, you're going to see this bloke everywhere.
Yeah. How do they market the team?
A Ponga or a Trbojevic or Tedesco. I mean, clearly those three aren't going to go there. I'm using those as examples. But the bloke that's going to be meeting with the sponsors, the marketing, the membership, the bloke who's going to be on the merchandise, they just haven't got that player yet. They're short of where they need to be.
Well, I grew up in Redcliffe, and I will support the Dolphins when they come into the competition. And I, like many people, thought Wayne Bennett might have had a little bit more clout. Yes, it seemed as though there was a bit of a clock ticking before the season would roll around and they had to fill a side. I honestly thought that Wayne Bennett would have a bigger fish by now, and I wonder whether he maybe has a couple on the hook or just about that we don't know about, because his pulling power is strong. There is a lot of appeal to playing in Queensland. I think Redcliffe would be a great place to be based or to train and play.
Why aren't they getting anyone, Bulldog?
Well, for next year, they might miss out. But as Ryan says, maybe for 24, and they have to sacrifice 23 their first year to be successful. I just don't think at the moment the players want to go there for that very reason. Ryan, I'll ask you, you're obviously a Queensland born. The Broncos have such a domination in Brisbane and have since 1988. If Redcliffe come in and perform poorly in their first 1, 2, 3 years, how bigger and significant impact will that have on that club in terms of support?
Well, when there was a suggestion that it was going to be the Brisbane Bombers, I thought this would be an absolute failure, because you can't have two teams named Brisbane. We just wouldn't get behind it. Redcliffe has a very strong foothold in the QRL and has for a very long time now. They have a lot of players that have come through that club and have gone on to NRL level. Petro Sivanasiva and Mick Crocker are just a couple that come to mind. So it's a club steeped in history. What does concern me with a lot of Southeast Queensland teams is it's been a bit of a vortex for sport. Look at the South Queensland Crushers. They failed. Look at how many Gold Coast identities that have failed. The Brisbane Broncos have always been strong and solid. I do have concerns that there is a history there that, you know, I know there's been a lot of people that have said there's statistics that will be able to support a second team in Brisbane. History will say that sporting teams don't necessarily thrive in that part of the world. So it's going to be an interesting exercise, and they've got to get it right from the get-go. They've got to get a lot of people that are on the fringe.
It's interesting too, we spoke off air about the Bears. Just about expansion, Ryan. I met with the Bears in Perth last week. Daniel Dixon, their chairman, and Billy Moore. And we spoke about Redcliffe and what they're going through. When you break it down, guys, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts here, where do the Bears go? Say the Bears get the license. Peter Vellani says, it's yours. But where do they go? Because when you think about it, there isn't a lot of options. We've got Perth, which is a long way away. They won't go back to Brisbane now, Ryan, as you say. One was enough for years. Two will be more than enough now for the next decade. North Queensland's looked after. There's a rural proposition. Maybe they might base themselves out of Coffs Harbour. But Christchurch is another one, Wellington. But it's a very interesting and fascinating debate as to where the Bears go. Because they're ready to go, but where?
Well, I tell you what, they have had struggle filling AFL stadiums this season, post-COVID. And to see Optus Stadium the other night with, what was it, 61,000 fans?
It was a sellout.
Is
that because it was just the one-off origin? Would they continue to rock up every single week when the Bears would be playing, I guess, is a different question.
But what a time to strike. You know, it's hot in the minds of the government over there seeing a full stadium when they haven't been able to fill it. And the West Coast Eagles, for example, have been going like absolute bustards. It is a good time to strike. So well done to them, you know, for having those meetings and striking while the iron's hot, because it's probably the right time to do it.
So what were they saying when you met with them?
They were going to meet with some WA League officials, and then on Monday they were actually going to meet with members of Parliament. Oh. So they were going quite a way toward the top of WA in terms of high flyers. They wouldn't play out of Optus Stadium. Mm. Maybe take a couple of marquee games there, but they wouldn't be able to fill out every week. But you think of the enormity of the task, though, like membership up against AFL, you know, marketing, sponsorship, grassroots, you know, junior footy, starting off junior footy, trying to put rugby league balls in kids' hands. And it could be 10 years before you get a local player.
The one thing that I am concerned about, I mean, even though the Dolphins are called the Dolphins, to me and many others, they are the Redcliffe Dolphins because they have a footprint in that area. I worry about merged entities. I still think with West Tigers, to me, they're neither the Tigers nor West. You know, they're a new entity, but I don't feel that they necessarily represent either of what those clubs were. I'm not a fan of West Tigers, so I can't speak like many other people can. But to me, I don't think of them as West or Tigers. Would people that supported the North Sydney Bears think the Perth Bears are the North Sydney Bears or a new Perth team? It's always the conundrum with the merged entity.
It is. And you're right, Ryan. I've asked the same question. If you're a rusted on Bears fan, would you support the Perth Bears? Personally, I don't think I could. Having said that, when you've been booted out of the comp and you were in 1998, you're still waiting for top flight rugby league, it's better than nothing.
Well,
it's better than what you've got.
Middo is all for it. And especially because he said that they, if it was the North Sydney Bears, even if they're out of Perth and they would hopefully still bring some games to North Sydney Oval, I think that would then maybe tickle your appetite if you were a North Sydney Bears fan and the fact that you are back into the competition. Because that's Jared. He is a North Sydney Bears fan, as he keeps telling everyone, and he wants to see them back in the competition.
Do Perth want the Bears as their logo, their entity? Or do they want a fresh team? Do they want their own logo? You know, do they want an old foundation club which has got wonderful history, but maybe people over there don't want the Bears in terms of
recyclable Western Reds?
Exactly, they want a fresh start. They want a fresh club. You know, they might not particularly gravitate to a club that is a Sydney club being relocated. There's a million questions about the Bears at the moment, but I think the bottom line is I know Peter Volandis loves the Bears. He loves their brand, their history, and I think at this point in time, the Bears are shaping as the 18th team. When that is, 25, 26 maybe, they want the 18th team for broadcast purposes. Perth also, Ryan, as you pointed out before, ticks a box in terms of broadcasting and that the games could flow on all day on Fox Sports.
We've had a good old gas bag in that section, haven't we? So we probably won't have time to do the headlines as we normally do them. But, of course, we will bring you the headlines throughout the program of other things such as Wimbledon and what's been going on over there. Tanasi Kokkinakis, unfortunately, lost to Novak Djokovic in straight sets overnight. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. And the cricket yesterday, the Aussies got off to a good start thanks to Nathan Lyon. He took 5 for 90. But the door has been left slightly ajar after a few wickets before stumps, finishing at 3 for 36. So we'll talk about the cricket a little bit later. But some great guests on the show today. What about these? Josh Reynolds is going to be joining us from, where is he at the moment?
I'll
is
be he, amazed if he actually
he France
calls in.
Or
so can we
Spain
make sure we,
or something
he's in
like
Barcelona
that?
With our
he's,
boss.
That's right. He's over there with our mate Ben Lloyd. So he's going to be our first guest just after 6 o'clock. Paul Gow will join us to talk golf. Adam Pengelly will join us from the Sydney Morning Herald. Steve Blocker-Roach is in the studio
big fella.
With us. Yes.
I spoke to him yesterday. He's all excited.
He's very excited. I saw him on Tuesday as well.
He's like great. I love his Thursday hour.
Legend.
AFL will talk with Shane Crawford as well. Brad Davidson will join us. Damien Cook. That's a big show. It's almost too much show. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. Stay with us this Thursday.